Hello, you're listening to Be Still and Know, a ministry of Carmen United Church in City Mines. I am Reverend Nick Phillips, and today we are looking at Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9, as we begin a look at prayer. Before we begin, I invite you to join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come here this morning, that we can bring our prayers before you, and that you will be with us. And so, Lord, as we begin to look at prayer in our lives, may you speak to us and give us an understanding. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. 15 years ago today was a beautiful Ottawa morning. I remember the sun shining and it being a lovely walk to work, which usually took me about a half hour. Things were fairly normal that morning. I approached the building, I passed through security, made my way to my desk. Everything seemed perfectly normal that September morning. I sat down at my desk and I opened my laptop. And I used to chat regularly. I used to chat every day with a coworker in Texas. And as I looked at my chat screen when I opened my laptop, I saw the words, "A plane crashed into the World Trade Center." And written below it were another one. And then, of course, there was the plane that flew into the Pentagon. From the time I left my front door that morning to the time I sat down at my desk just over a half hour later, the world changed. I couldn't believe what I was just reading in those couple lines. I wanted to know what was happening. So I made my way to the cafeteria where I knew there was a television and it would most certainly be tuned to the news. So I made my way and I sat down to find out what was going on. Surprisingly, I was alone. I learned it later that other departments had gathered around televisions closer to their office space and watched it together. The building was incredibly quiet that day for a building that had 35,000 workers in it. I sat there watching as the towers fell. I watched as people died by the thousands on live television. I had no personal connections to anyone in New York, yet I knew, obviously, that lives were being ripped apart and it was being broadcast around the world live, and the world would no longer be the same. I was a young man of 27 years. I was a new Christian, and I was just learning to put my trust in God. That day was the first time I remember pouring out my heart in prayer for someone other than myself. I frequently pray for the things in the news today, of course, as they unfold, but September 11th, 2001 was the first time I prayed for the pain and the people I was witnessing live on television. Did my prayers achieve anything? I may never know. I'm sure many, many people were doing the same thing, gathered around television screens, scared, worried, and praying. And in the aftermath, there are some wonderful stories that emerged of heroism and generosity that would emerge in those weeks following. I mean, just Friday evening, we heard all the sirens. We heard them here in Sydney Mines, the sirens coming down the highway. As a piece of beam from Tower 2 was being escorted across Cape Breton to Marine Atlantic to be delivered to the people of Gander. People of Gander who doubled in size for a few days, and the generosity they poured out to the stranded travelers because the FAA closed the skies to commercial traffic over North America. 6,000 people were cared for in that small town. And people prayed together. They prayed alone. In many ways, while the world changed that day and will never be the same, there was some unification going on as well. Christians from all walks of life, from all denominations, all over the world were getting together to pray. It wasn't going to change what happened, but it brought people together for a time of love and support and care and a chance to show the world that what was important to us. Has prayer ever been such a unifying, important act globally in the world? Certainly not in my generation. We're going to spend the next few weeks looking at prayer. Why we do it, what's it for, how do we pray? This is a brief introduction in some way to the work we're going to undertake over the next few months to enhance our prayer life both as individuals and as a church. You've heard me talk about some of the things I've been doing before through the church renewal movement. Now, we're not going to have it all figured out in a couple of weeks. Nor are we going to have it figured out in a couple of months. We are embarking on a journey that's going to take years. Years where we will seek to have more of God in our lives and our church. And it begins with prayer. I hope you're willing to join me on this journey. We will be having special prayer services. We will be having workshops on prayer. We will be having retreats. All to bring ourselves closer to God. Are you excited? Are you scared? Either way, it's good. Submitting ourselves to God in a new way can be a scary endeavor because it means things might change. It might mean we end up taking a look at parts of our lives we don't want to look at, things we aren't proud of, things we like to hide. And part of that process will mean letting God into those places, into those dark corners that we don't like to go to. And let me tell you from personal experience, when we do this, when we let God take us into these dark places, His light will chase away the shadows, and we will be renewed. Prayer does change lives. In Philippians 4, Paul writes this to the church. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Prayer is a time for conversation with God. It's an opportunity to bring everything before God and a chance to seek His peace. It's a chance to open ourselves to God and let Him guide us and protect us. This verse makes me think of what Jesus told the disciples after He taught them to pray. He says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is life more than food? And the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than them? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to the span of your life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What will we eat, or what will we wear, or what will we drink?' For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today." Matthew 6. Prayer has many uses. We pray for others, which we do here each and every Sunday. We pray for ourselves. We pray for world events. We pray for our community, our schools, our leaders. But prayer is also a time to trust in God. It's a time when we can stop and listen for what he has to say to us in regards to how we live our lives. Prayer is learning to worry less about what we are able to do and trusting in God that he will provide what we need. This is not a new concept. Jesus taught this. We just read it. Paul wrote about this. God provided throughout the whole of the Old Testament to his people, especially when they stopped to listen to what he had to say. So why do we pray? We pray because we can't do it ourselves. We pray because we acknowledge our weaknesses and are looking for strength. And who is stronger than God? Psalm 140 says, I say to the Lord, you are my God. Give ear, O Lord, to the voice of my supplications. O Lord, my strong deliverer. Psalm 9 says, the Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know your name put their trust in you, for you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Psalm 73, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And if we read on a little bit in Philippians 4, we see, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And Peter writes in his first letter, and after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. God is our strength. There is no one greater we can look to for support than our Father in heaven. And how do we gain access to this strength? We talk to him. We pray. We listen. And we obey. Prayer is more than just pouring out our problems to God. But even if we're just pouring out our problems to God, then shouldn't we expect something in return? If I go to a service department because of something I bought that doesn't work, am I just going to go to the counter, complain, and walk away? No, I'm going to the service counter because I'm going to complain and expect something in return. I'm going to expect a solution to my problem. Well, if I'm pouring out my problems to God, should I not expect something in return? Should I not expect God to do something about it? We should. You should expect it. When we pray, we can expect God to do something. It may not be what we want him to do, but he will do something. But prayer is more than this. It's more than just pouring out our problems. It's more than just asking God to do what we want him to do. Prayer is an act of submitting ourselves to God. Jesus went off all the time to pray. After he was baptized at the start of his ministry, he spent 40 days in the wilderness praying and fasting. And we read often in the Gospels where Jesus went off to pray by himself. Even Jesus needed to go to God on a daily basis to seek direction. We need the same thing, even more so. Prayer is submitting ourselves to the will of God. It means giving up something to receive a greater gift, the greater gift of being in relationship with our Father in heaven, a relationship which will change our lives as we come closer to him day by day. Will it happen overnight? No, it won't. I wish I could say that it would, but it's a process. It takes time. For some people, it may happen quicker than others. We're all different. And some, it may even happen overnight, but those are extremely rare situations. When you get a puppy, you want to start training it as soon as possible, right? Because if you leave a puppy to do what a puppy likes to do, you're going to be cleaning up a lot of messes and replacing a number of things in your home that the dog has destroyed. So you start to train that puppy. You start to teach it things you want it to do. Things like where to use the bathroom, what not to eat, where it can sleep, what furniture it might be allowed on, if any, how much noise it makes, how it behaves around people and other animals. And then when it starts to get these basic behaviors that you desire, you might start to teach it some tricks, you know, how to fetch, roll over, play dead, those sorts of things. But the puppy, he doesn't sit there listening to you, right? He doesn't sit there taking it all in and then all of a sudden start doing them, right? I mean, training a puppy is a long-term process. Some days the dog will get it, other days it feels like you're back at the very beginning. And finally, after months or maybe even years, you might have a dog that will do some of those things you're trying to train it to do. And by that point, you've already ignored the rest. We're like the puppy, right? We just naturally want to do things that make us feel good, things that are pleasing to us. But some of those things God wishes we wouldn't do. He would like us to stop doing some of those things. But most of the time, we don't listen, do we? Thing is, God doesn't train us like a puppy. He doesn't put us on a leash and drag us around until we learn how to sit, heal, and stay. God waits for us to come to Him to learn. God waits for us to come to Him and say, "What do I need to learn today?" And then He'll tell us. He really will. Then we can say, "Thank you, God." And then we'll go off and keep doing the thing, won't we? Then the next day we'll go to God and say, "What can I learn today?" And God will tell us the same thing. And we'll say, "Okay, thank you, God." And then maybe for the rest of that day we won't do it, but look out for tomorrow. Because we might have forgotten to do it by then. This is part of the process, learning and growing in our relationship with God. It's quite handy to have a journal of some sort, a prayer journal, where we can write some of these things down that God's asking us to do. So we can go back and say, oh yeah, I forgot about that. I better fix that and get back to it. We are children of our Father in heaven. We make mistakes, just like our children. We don't follow all the rules. We don't listen to them. Some days are better than others, but we keep working at it. We want to be closer to Him. We want it. We long for it. We know it fills a hole in our lives that nothing else can fill. But sometimes, darn it, we just don't want to do the work. And I'm guilty of that. That's why we need to submit. We need to make a full commitment to following God's plan in our lives. Full commitment. Submission. These are strong words, scary words, aren't they? But they're necessary steps to becoming a better Christian, a better follower of Jesus Christ. They're scary because it means giving up control. We are allowing someone else to take over direction in our lives. So if you hesitate, I understand. I understand because it means you might have to give up something you think is important. But I can assure you God will only ask you to give up something so He can give you something far greater. The Apostle James wrote to the church. He said, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will exalt you." Living a life of faith is trusting in God to provide and give you what you need. It means giving up things which keep you from fully realizing the joy God wishes you to have. It means humbling ourselves, making ourselves weak, so God can strengthen us and exalt us. He will lift you up. It's His promise. It's a promise made throughout Scripture. Follow Him, know Him, not just in your head, but in your heart and in your soul. Do this, and you will receive his joy, his blessing. And we do this in prayer. We do this by submitting ourselves, humbling ourselves, and letting him be the authority over all of our lives. This, my friend, is the beginning of a life of faith. A beginning which will not end until we are standing in his presence before his throne. Each and every day is another step in the journey to become closer to him. 2 steps forward, 1 step back. Sure, it's going to happen. We'll make mistakes. But we'll just pick ourselves back up and submit our life to him again and again and again as we commit ourselves to a life of prayer, listening for what he will provide when we follow the path he lays out before us. Lives change all the time. The world changes continually, and none more so than 15 years ago this morning. And we will change too if we put our trust in our Father who loves us more than we can ever know. Would you join me in prayer? Father, help us to put our trust in you. We want to know you more. We want to be faithful and obedient. Help us, Lord, to submit ourselves to your will for our lives. Give us ear to listen and hearts which long for you. This we ask in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Thank you for listening to Be Still and Know, a ministry of Carmen United Church in Sydney Mines. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website, www.carmenunited.ca. May God bless you this day.